last time I was here. It's been a minute, and I'm not appreciative necessarily of the circumstances that brings me here. I pray for Michael on a regular basis, and I know that it's got to be very difficult to not have a normal, quote, what's normal anymore? Does anybody even know, right? But for him to have some consistency and some health in his life, I pray that for him. But these are uncertain times, and I'm sure you guys have had this talk. I mean, any congregation that's meeting are talking about these uncertain times, but truly, we're very lucky because in uncertain times, we have a very certain God, and we can find a lot of peace there. I want to start this morning by reading just a quick passage, and this is one actually when COVID first started, I wrote this passage on a whiteboard, and it's a pretty long passage, and my handwriting's not great, but no one's erased it, and I've had people tell me that they felt blessed by reading it. So I'm going to read it to you this morning, and this is not necessarily the lesson, but if you need a passage, if you don't have your own passage to draw strength from, this is one that I like to use. This is Isaiah chapter 40. You've heard it. It starts in verse 28 and runs through the end of the chapter. It says this. It says, "Do you not know? Have you not heard? The everlasting God, the Lord, the creator of the ends of the earth, does not become weary or tired. His understanding is inscrutable. He gives strength to the weary, and to him who lacks might, he increases power. Though youth grow weary and tired, and vigorous young men stumble badly, yet those who wait for the Lord will gain new strength. They will mount up with wings like eagles, and they will run and not get tired. They will walk and not become weary." It's a beautiful song that we sing sometimes in the hymnal that really encapsulates that. But man, there is just a lot of hope in those words to me, because it doesn't take me much to stumble anymore. It doesn't take me much to grow weak anymore. But even when I was younger, Bible clearly states that even the vigor of youth doesn't stand up to the power and the might of God. And there's a lot of reason for hope. So this morning, let me spend just a couple of minutes talking about hope for a second. This isn't the main idea, but I think this is a good lead into what I really want to say. But there's a couple of kinds of hope as I considered the idea of hope and the hope that God has. But there's a hope that happens inside the family, and there's a hope that happens outside the family, and they're not equal by any stretch of the imagination. As a child, we have hope in our parents, right? The things that they say, the promises, the message, the lessons that they give, there's a lot of hope there. And we have a reasonable expectation to believe in those things, right? In the things that our parents say. It makes good sense, and it's not outlandish to have hope in the things that your family tells you. My parents delivered every time they could. My grandparents, my aunts and uncles, we have a reasonable expectation of hope inside the family. Now, outside the family, it gets a little bit different. Not saying that you can't trust people. Not saying that there's not times when promises are fulfilled or hope is realized. But truly, the farther you get from your family, I don't think it's a stretch to say the further away from reasonable hope you get. Right? So think about hope inside the family, and think about hope outside the family as we move forward here in this lesson. All right, because we're going to come back to it a time or two. So, for those of you who don't know, throughout the pandemic, Bruce Potter and I have been meeting at the church every Sunday morning early, and we've been doing some video lessons. Now, I was telling some of the brothers prior to services that in Gentry we might have 80 people on a good Sunday. A really good Sunday might be 80 people. But we're getting, hundreds of views on these videos, and Bruce is like a chicken on a June bug with this. He says, man, we can't stop this. So I think we're going to keep going with it. But in this video lesson, in these video lessons, a lot of the time we're talking about the day, right? And so last Sunday was Memorial Day. And you probably got a wonderful lesson on with a Memorial Day theme or a Memorial Day topic. Well, I talked last week a little about a little about the legacy of faith, right? And there's a couple of passages I cited, one of which was Joshua, you know, a servant of God. In 2 Timothy, I believe, chapter 1, it starts talking about there's a concession of Joshua's faith, a recognition of Joshua's faith, and there was also a recognition of where he got that faith, from his grandmother Lois, from his mother Eunice. So there was a legacy of faith that was passed down to Joshua. And I think, I'm sure I've preached this verse in this very room multiple times, but Hebrews 11 and 4 is absolutely one of my favorites in the Bible, because it talks about Abel. It talks about how he made a better sacrifice than Cain, right? Hebrews 11 is the faith chapter. Through faith, he made a better sacrifice. And really what that means is, and if you want the simple idea of faith, it's listening to what God says and obeying. That's simple faith. You can't get faith from anywhere else. You hear it from God's mouth, you implement it in your life, you have faith. Abel had faith, and through his faith, it says he was able to obtain a testimony of righteousness. Which I just beg that God let me have that same testimony, right? Because that testimony is what lands you with in eternity with God. But it says about Abel's testimony of righteousness that even though he is dead, his faith still speaks. Right, so there's a legacy there. And who in this room? I see little children. I see young couples with kids that have a job to do. Right, and we all want to leave something to our kids. Right, we think about inheritance sometimes. There's a difference between a legacy and inheritance. Right, so a legacy is more about your reputation, more about your actions. You know, obviously an inheritance many times, and certainly on planet Earth, an inheritance is usually something physical, something you can touch, property, money, something you can spend. That's, you know, we like those kinds of inheritance, and we certainly want to be able to leave those types of things for our children. But the legacy is even more important. I believe. And so there is a difference, you know, as far as a legacy goes. You know, you might remember a philanthropist for his legacy of generosity. We remember the legacy of Hitler as one of hatred, right? So that's what you're thinking about. What are people thinking about you? And I've mentioned this multiple times lately on these videos that we're doing, but I think it's amazing that we're thousands of years removed from Abel's life, and we're here in Colcord, Arkansas. I almost called this Arkansas. Don't let me offend y'all with that. My apologies. We're in Colcord, Oklahoma in 2020, and we're talking about Abel's faith. And so it makes me wonder, and it takes me to a place of self-examination where I have to really wonder, you know, how long is my legacy of faith going to last? Am I showing my kids? Do my kids know that I have faith? Do my friends and family know that I have faith? It's important. It's very important. But that legacy idea, the inheritance idea, these are wonderful things to dwell on, right? Because this is what's best for us. If we're dwelling on how much money we can leave our kids, and that's where we're putting our efforts, there's some room for improvement. Your number one legacy, your number one inheritance that your children should be getting from you is the faith that you carry. I'd like to start this morning looking at this in 1 Peter. In 1 Peter chapter 1. 1 Peter chapter 1. I'm going to be the last one to get there. First Peter chapter 1, starting, I believe, in verse 3. There's some ideas here around the idea of inheritance, right? We're talking about legacy this morning, but we're also talking about inheritance because they're similar, although not the same. So starting in verse 3, it says, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who according to his great mercy has caused us to be born again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to obtain an inheritance which is imperishable and undefiled and will not fade away, reserved in heaven for you, who are protected by the power of God through faith for a salvation ready to be revealed in the last time." I want to point something out to you in that last verse. And this is something, you know, I've studied about the concept of faith, and because I really do believe that, you know, there's a human definition of faith, and then there's God's definition of faith. You know, a human believes that faith is just simple belief in something, believing in something. But God's definition of faith says that saving faith comes from Him, right? And it comes from His Word, and it comes from you obeying His Word. So it's when it says here that we are protected by the power of God through faith, that means we're protected by the power of God if we will listen to Him and we will obey Him, and so that we'll be ready for a salvation to be revealed in the last time. Right? This is the inheritance. The inheritance is eternal. The inheritance happens through faith. One of the things that's completely missing from this idea is money and property, right? That's not the inheritance. It says here that we have a reason to hope, right? We have a living hope, right? This is verse 3, living hope. Why do we have a living hope? Because we were born again. We were born again. We have a living hope according to His great mercy is the statement of this verse. That's why we have a living hope, because God was merciful to us. We have a living hope because Christ arose. That's what it says, that we have this living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Without the resurrection, without defeating of death, there'd be no reason to have faith. Just not any. But all of this is in place so that we can obtain an inheritance. I want to talk about the inheritance for a few minutes here this morning, because there's four attributes of inheritance that is written here, starting in verse 4. The inheritance that you're going to obtain through Christ, through faith in Him, which means you listened and you obeyed, you get an inheritance that, number one, is imperishable. What does it mean to be imperishable? No corruption. No decay. The statement of Matthew chapter 6, verses 19 and 20, it says, "Do not lay up for yourselves treasure upon the earth, where moth and rust destroy, where thieves break in and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasure in heaven, where the opposite is true." So, no moth, no rust, no thieves. There's a reason that this inheritance is imperishable. It's because it's not money. It's not property. It's something bigger than that. It's something better than that. And if you read your Bible, you'll find out that the eternal inheritance is something that we can't even comprehend. But we just know that it's coming from a God that is that's got a track record of delivering, right? And when I say delivering, I don't just mean He brought something to you, that He's given something to you. Delivery is an amazing idea that God fulfills. When He delivered the Israelites out of Egypt, He delivered them in every way, just like He's delivering us in every way. It's not just that He got them, that He bailed them out of slavery. He delivered them to a new hope. He delivered them to a new life. He delivered them to a new promise. That's what He does for us. It's imperishable. That's number one. Let's turn this over here and we'll look at number two. It says that it's not only imperishable, it says it's undefiled. That's the second attribute of this inheritance that we're going to be receiving. That means that it's free of anything that would degrade. It's free of anything that would deform or debase. It's pure. Undefiled, this inheritance. Now, Jesus, our high priest, in Hebrews chapter 7, He is described as holy, He's described as undefiled. He's defined as exalted above the heavens. And he is pure. And we know this. So this inheritance that we're getting is the language uses the same word to describe Jesus. Right? And so we understand, and the reading that we had a minute ago, it's one of the toughest things to really fathom, that we are co-heirs with Christ. We are sons with Christ. It says, if the Spirit is in you, I believe this is Romans chapter 8, if the Spirit is in you, then you are with Christ. Then you are basically saved. I'm sorry, I can't quote it to you off the top of my head. But what's the test? If the Spirit's in you, where did you get the Spirit? When did you get the Spirit? Well, you got that whenever you called out to God in baptism and He did His work. Don't let anybody tell you that baptism is your work. It's not your work. It's God's work. And that's where He forgives your sins. He worked and He forgave your sins. He worked and He put His Spirit in you. If His Spirit is in you, then you're with Him and you are a son. That's what it says. I remember now. It says, if the Spirit is within you, then you are a son. And if you are a son, then you are an heir. And if you're an heir, do you have a reasonable expectation of inheritance? I think you do. You're going to carry out the legacy, but you're going to receive the inheritance. And the inheritance is not only imperishable, but it's undefiled. Those are the first two. Number three, this is unfading, this inheritance. It's unfading. It means that it's enduring. It's not going to end. God's not going to change His mind. There's no depreciation for this inheritance. There's nothing but glory in this inheritance. This glorious intensity will never stop. It's unfading. And we're gonna find a day, guys, when God hopefully tells us, enter in my good and faithful servant. And we're going to get to have some idea of this. It says we can't fathom it right now. But we're going to see it. And you know what? We're going to say, man, this is some glory right here. And we're already going to know that it's imperishable. We're going to know that it's undefiled. And we're going to see immediately that this isn't going to fade away. God's inheritance to us is unfading. And it says lastly here, it says that this inheritance is reserved for us in heaven. All right? He's keeping a place for you. If it weren't true, He would have told you, if you recognize that, because I couldn't tell you where it's at. Off the top of my head, I think maybe Matthew. But nevertheless, he is keeping a place for us. Our name is written in the book of life. Our crown has our name on it. Right? Enjoy your earthly blessings. Enjoy them and know where they come from. But put your hope, here we come, back to hope. We have hope in this promised inheritance. Now, hearing this, let's go back to what we talked about initially about hope. Hoping inside the family, hoping outside the family. If you have called out to God, in the act of baptism, if you've been saved, if you've been forgiven, if you've received the Holy Spirit, that Holy Spirit is inside of you, testifying along with your spirit that you are His. And if you are a son. Are you inside the family or are you outside the family at that point? Do you have a reasonable expectation of hope from there? I believe that you do. I fully believe that you do. Now, the idea of legacy, the idea of inheritance is something that we probably do spend time thinking about. We think about it usually upon a death, don't we? Especially, or an impending death. That's something that happens and we start to really consider these things. Well, utilizing that same thought process, understand, guys, that in the act of coming to God and calling on Him, we are putting ourselves to death. There is an inheritance to be had. There is a legacy to leave. And we want to leave that well. What does it mean to be led by the Spirit of God? It means that you are carrying on a legacy of faith that He has given to you. If you'll listen to what He says, and if you will act accordingly, you are going to have a reasonable expectation of hope and inheritance from within. You're not asking a governor of a different state to come through for you in some way. You're asking the God of creation to fulfill the promise that He made, a God who can't lie, a God who's never changed, never wavered. He's there for you. He wants you to inherit. He wants you to be thinking about this legacy, the same legacy that Joshua experienced, the same legacy that Abel was able to experience. These things lead to inheritance. These things lead to growth. These things lead to an eternity with the people that you love that you've never even met, that are generations away. I mentioned this morning on the video that I did at the Gentry Church, because I talked about this same idea, used some different verses to talk about it. But there's a financial gentleman named Dave Ramsey. Anybody ever heard of Dave Ramsey? Love his teachings. He don't mince words much, right? If he were a diet guy, he'd be telling you to eat right and exercise. He's not talking about a magic pill. He's not talking about a special program. He's kind of nuts and bolts. I want to give him all the credit in the world. I've listened to him and have a lot of respect for him. And he leads with faith a lot of times. One of the scripture that he quotes on a regular basis, I think he's kind of got it a little wrong though. I'm just here to tell you. In Proverbs 13 and 22, he says that a good man will leave an inheritance to his children's children. Do you think he's talking about money? Do you think God cares how much money you have in your bank account? Only if you're starving, maybe. And either way, he wants you to put your faith in him. Don't put your faith in that type of stuff. Don't put your faith in money. How much time have you spent, as much time teaching your kids about God as you have about finances, about money, about, oh, we can't afford this, this is why, no. I've got a 4-year-old, and we have the devil of a time trying to get her to pray at night. She's all over that bed. She wants to go back to what she was doing, or she'll only say every other word. And when we do the "now I lay me down to sleep" thing, it's important that we teach that way. It's important that we teach our kids this way. It's important that we take it on for ourselves. I'm a 46-year-old man, and my mother sits right here. She's delivered to me a legacy of faith, and it came from her mom and her mom. I can still see my great-grandma sitting right over there. And I know what she's doing when we're singing, and I know what she's doing whenever the lesson's being given. I'll never forget it. Your kids will never forget it either. Make it a part of your life. There's an inheritance for you and a legacy for them. Now, I don't know if there's anything that I've said here this morning that's been encouraging. I hope so. I'm gonna stop right there this morning and give you the lesson. I hope you'll take it with you. And if you haven't thought about the legacy, your legacy in that way, I hope you will. I mean, so since we're in 2020, I'll just tell you, if you want to know what the Bible says about inheritance, hold down the button or say, "Hey Siri," or whatever you got to do, and just say, "What does the Bible say about inheritance?" There's some amazing apps out there and websites that'll just go right there and just break these verses down for you and break it out. So use the tools of the day. Right? Use what you have, but consider your legacy, and consider the inheritance that you're up for as a son, and a hope that comes from inside the family, and a reasonable expectation of that hope being realized. Thanks for listening. I hope somebody's been moved. If there's anything anyone needs here this morning from a gospel standpoint, anybody wants to have prayer, anybody needs to respond this morning to call out on Him, we're here. Don't hesitate. Don't wait. Your legacy and your inheritance are in the balance. So that being said, we'll go ahead and sing the song of invitation that's been selected. Thank you. No.